Hashem loves us and wants us to continue learning the holy words that Ali Shor is not letting us miss today. Baruch Hashem. So yesterday, and I just wanted to apologize personally to everyone here that we ran a little late yesterday and we missed Baruch Hu, so B'nai Neda, I will fix that today and for the future. Yesterday we learned the Ramchal, and the Ramchal spoke about the Mashal that the Ramchal gave. Was the Mashal of coals that look like there's no fire there, but if you wave them you can get the fire out. So to the Torah looks like it's got no energy, enthusiasm, power. However, once a person applies the seichel to it, you apply your mind to the learning of Torah, then it brings out the koach of the Torah. Harei ha'choreach lidbonanut hu mi'ikarei ha'yitzira. It only works if you're contemplating. We gave the two stories yesterday of someone who could, a boy could be in yeshiva and be learning the most amazing things. And he goes, yeah, I see, I get it, okay, but it's the same Gemara every day, it's basically saying the same thing every day, and he's not bringing out the fire of Torah because it's not mitbonen. He's acting as a spectator, but he's not acting as a player. He's not involved in the Torah learning, he's not bringing out his own svaras, and therefore it's external to him, and if he doesn't experience the fire of Torah, as opposed to someone like that funny story that we told yesterday of there, even if they're not religious, but they start thinking through the svaras as well themselves, and they become very passionate about the Torah learning because they feel that they're thinking through it, becomes their, they become a part of the process of learning Torah themselves. So you see that hitvonanut, contemplating what you're learning, is the essence of the creation. Ki zoya derech ha-mevi'a ledei ha-falat ha-seichel. That's what brings out the seichel, meaning it's using the seichel for what it's intended to be used for. And the more you're able to activate your mind, the less control the Yetzirah has over you. And I want to emphasize, because I said it yesterday, I want to say it again. The fact that a person is more intelligent and has more Torah learning in their reserves does not make them stronger in the battle against the Yetzirah. They could have learnt off by heart Kol HaTorah Kula, and they will not have the power to hold out against the Yetzirah. However, when a person is actively thinking Torah thoughts, even if they don't know a lot, but they're right now, their mind is engaged in Torah, the seichel is activated right now, that will give them the power to overcome Torah. So if you have one person who doesn't know anything in Torah, there's one thought that he knows, one thing that when I say he knows, not just that he can repeat it like a parrot, but rather he thinks it through when he says it, that will give him the strength in order to overcome the desire for anything inappropriate, because his mind is right now being activated in Torah, and that's what cancels the Yetzirah. And that's why it works. If a person ever feels like he's coming close to having a seminal emission, and then he turns his mind to thoughts of Torah, then it can die down the passion for that area, because his mind is now activated, and therefore the body has less power, he has more power over the body. The body is, the desire for that area is cancelled, because his mind is activated in Torah thoughts. Hine le Torah tzuchunat ha-secher atzmo. V'itbonanut megale or mamash. Torah is potential, and the contemplating the Torah brings out the fire, the passion of the Torah. Havchana bein or lebein chochma. So we're saying that the Torah is wisdom, but you're applying your mind to it, you're being mitbonen on it, brings out the fire of that wisdom. So what's the difference between the two? Ki ha'or ki ha'yediyah ha'mevateret et ha'yetzer. Because when we speak about regular wisdom, chokhmah, it's yediyah she'en b'kocha levatel yetzarim. It doesn't have the power to overcome yetzer. It's just that you happen to know lots of information. So that doesn't give you control over yourself. It doesn't give you control over the desire. Just to put it very kind of figuratively, chokhmah could be compared, in this example, to a helium balloon, where there's great wisdom, but you let go and it flies up. Doesn't necessarily have any positive effect on what's below. It's amazing and lofty. The Hebrew word for it would be ram. Ram v'nisa, as opposed to gadol. What's the difference between ram and gadol? Gadol is something which is very big, but it starts on the ground. Like a tower. A tower is big. It's big, it starts over there, it goes all the way up. Ram could be very small, but it just means it's very high. Like a cloud. A cloud would be ram. A cloud isn't gadol. It might also be gadol if it's very, very, very large. That if it would be on the ground, it would go up high. But the definition of gadol is it starts on the ground and goes up high. The definition of ram is it's high. So chokhmah is something which is lofty, but it's not necessarily going to give you power over what's below. because it's lofty. The chokhmah by itself isn't going to help you. The fact that you've learned lots of Torah and it's reserved somewhere that you can tap into and say over some mahalach, but right now you're not doing it because it's above you, it's lofty, you know it, but it's not right now currently grounded in the world with you, it's not going to help you. That's chokhmah. Or, what the Ramchal calls the fire of Torah, is a type of a Torah which when you've applied your mind to the Torah, then right now it's grounded. Right now it's able to help you overcome the physical. Right now, even if you have a Yetzer Hara, you're on fire right now with this Torah, and therefore it's gadol, it's grounded on the ground, it can help you even overcome base. Mizeh navin divrei ha-Mesirat Yesharim. And from here we can understand in more depth what the Mesirat Yesharim opens with. Shekefi rov pirsumam shel devarim u'koneged ma she'amitetam geluya lakol, kach ehele mehem metzui ma'od v'ashrecha rabah. The Mesirat Yesharim is almost justifying his writing the book. There's nothing much new in it, which is absolute sheker when he writes that. When the Rishon Lakish says there's nothing new in this book, it's all new. I mean, maybe for him it wasn't new, because if it was all new. For anyone else in the world post the Ramchal, there's nothing new in that book. Of course everything is new. There's so many chidushim in there that you wouldn't have known. But for him it wasn't new. But his goal, I'd say it like this, his goal in writing it wasn't to write new things. His goal in writing it was to write things that he believed that anyone could have probably figured out themselves if they would have done the same research that he would have done. He wasn't coming to write new things there. But rather his goal in writing the book was to write things which is important that you're constantly reminding yourself. You're constantly activating the seichel on. You're constantly keeping in your mind. Hine yediyat mufursamot ke'elu, things that are well known and obvious, since they're so well known, you don't contemplate them. You don't think about them. Say, yeah, I know that. I can tell you, it's very frustrating when you come over to give an idea and you know that you have an understanding of the idea which is beyond what the person you're telling currently understands. And if they would be open, they would be able to hear a much deeper understanding. But then they say, oh yeah, that's the famous Ramban over there. Now you say, no, it's not. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. It happened to me very recently. Recently, someone asked me advice on Shalom Bayit. And I said over an idea which everyone I've ever said this idea to has been like amazed. It's not my idea, I learned it by one of my rabbis, Rabbi Shochatovitz. But like everyone who I've said it to, chatanim that I teach it to, when I'm doing chosen classes, and they hear this idea, they're like, wow, that's going to make a difference. And they've come back and told me, like, that's helped them in so many areas. And I love this. This is like my advice that I give. It's one thing that I received from my rabbi, and I passed it on. And recently someone asked me, not a Talmud, someone else, asked me, like, so what's your good advice that you give to chatanim? I started saying this idea. They said, oh yeah, it's like you should not get into fights. I was like, no, it's not get into fights. They go, yeah, it's like it's about having harmony in the home and shalom bites. Said, no, you're not listening to me. It's not just, I'm not just saying have shalom bites. Like, listen very carefully to what I'm saying, because I'm saying the key and the how to have shalom bites. But they weren't willing to listen. They had their catchphrase already. Gadol ha-shalom, sha-shalom, ifshalim chok shem Hashem. They had something like, quote of Chazal, that they would presume I'm just saying that quote. And they know that quote already, so there's nothing more to listen to. And it was extremely frustrating, because I feel I have what to share here. And I feel that you potentially could benefit from listening to it if you don't know it already. It could be, but because you're in the catchphrase, you're in the, oh yeah, I know, it's a well-known idea, a universal truth, everyone knows that, so it stops you from being open to hear more depth. So the Mesirat Yesharim is saying that by virtue of the fact that things are more well-known, people assume they know them already, and they don't listen to when there's more depth there. And in fact, I'll tell you one thing Rabbi Shochatovich told us. Rabbi Shochatovich told us, that you, and this is I don't know if I do this, I have to be careful, but he said, you have to be very careful never to teach a Torah idea to someone who's not ripe enough, mature enough to hear it. Because if you do that, then they'll hear it in a way that they can't process, but they've heard the words. And then later on, when they are ready to hear it, and they're mature enough to be able to absorb the idea, they won't take it in. Because they'll say, oh yeah, I heard that idea when I was 15. And you say, no, I'm not saying the idea that you heard it. Yeah, I know, I have the phrase in my mind, I know I've heard that already. And they won't be able to absorb that idea deeply. Unless they, you know, really a Musa-oriented Jew, who's willing to listen to something that they've heard already, and to see there's new insights there. Then they may be able to. But he warns us, he says, don't teach any ideas that I teach you to people who aren't in the maturity place where they can absorb the idea. Because then you're doing harm to them. you're teaching it too early and they won't be able to absorb it at the time when they should receive it. So he says, the Messiah Hashem says, ideas that are more well known prevent people from being mitbonen on them. And then they don't have a transformative effect. When is Torah able to ignite you and help you connect to Hashem and overcome the Yetzer Hara? Only when you're applying Hitbonanut, when you're contemplating it and you get excited about it, because you're focused in a way that you relate back. How does that relate to me? How do I think about that? What does it mean to me? When you think in those ways, the Torah is alive for you. It will create a passion to Avodat Hashem that helps you change your life and overcome the Yetzer Hara. But if you're learning in a way of chokhmah, but not or, meaning more information, plug it in, more, yeah, I've heard that point already, it's well known, well known. Yeah, what was in the shir today? Oh, he made the well known chiluk of Rabbi Akiva Eger at the beginning of Maseches Yevamos. Okay, yeah, I know that. Good, it's good I didn't go to the bother to go into the shir today, because he said something I know already, I've heard it. But probably he said more than just the, what you knew until now of some chiluk. You could safely assume that if an hour and a quarter shir just took place, there was more chidushim there, or more depth than you ever understood in your life. But once a person's in the mindset of, yeah, it's well known, then it remains for you as chokhmah. And that won't change you. And it'll be boring. The Torah will become boring. You'll sit there, oh, I'm talking about that point again, I've heard that point. It'll be boring. But when you're thinking in a way of contemplation, of hitbonanut, you're able to hear brand new things that will transform you in a deeper level. About three stories went through my mind when I was saying that. So the one I thought of was, there was once a rabbi, Alav Shalom. People called him Rav Shagar, after his initials, Rav Shimon Gershon Rosenthal. He learned in Kamri Avner a long, long, long time ago. And then he went on, he was the Rosh Hashiva of HaKotel for a little bit. And then he founded his own yeshiva in, which is named Siach Yitzchak, I think it was called. And he was Rosh Hashiva of his own yeshiva after he was a Rebbe in Rosh Hashiva of HaKotel. He was a Rebbe in HaKotel, and then he became Rosh Hashiva of HaKotel. And then he founded his own yeshiva. And then he passed away relatively young from cancer. Anyway, so I heard someone who was a charuta of him here talk about him at one point, and they said that they used to just watch him during Shir Klali. Because this is what would happen in Shir Klali. He was a very thought-oriented individual. He was kulo-or. Like, he was mitbonin on everything. And when the Rosh Hashiva of Goldwicht used to give Shir Klali, Then this friend of his used to like watch him because it was more interesting. I don't know. It was interesting. He's like, he would see him like listening intently to the questions that Rav Goldwicht would ask. Like, hear the questions. And then once he finished the questions, he would close his eyes. And then he would start working out the answers himself. Like, once he'd heard the questions, then he would start being mitbonen. And he would go into his own world. And he would like think. And then after the shir, he would go to Rav Goldwicht and say, maybe you could answer like this, maybe you could answer like this, maybe you could answer this, because he was kulam mitbonen. He just wanted to hear the questions. That's what ignited him. And a different point was that when I was in shir or something, I had a Rebbe called Rav Buchrus, and he's like, in my mind, my Rebbe, like who I learned my Torah from when I was in yeshiva. And he said that we have to prepare chaburas to give over, like we had to prepare Iyun Shirim to give over to the rest of the shir. And we had an amazing like month, an amazing month where we all prepared shir for a day and he guided us through it, and then like we became the rebbeim for a day. It was an amazing process that really gave me a love of Torah. So I said, I don't know where to begin, like where do I start? So he said, well, don't you have a question on a sugya that you've learned around these segments of Iyun? And I said, like, not one that wasn't like easily addressed. Like, I don't have a big question that like I didn't see anyone really addressing. The every question that I happened to have, it was like addressed like pretty straightforwardly from the Rishonim or something. He said, okay, so then do this. Take a sefer of one of the Achronim, read the question that they ask, and then close the book. And then you're on your own. Go look at the answers. Go find it. Discuss it with the Rebbein. Discuss it with friends. And I wouldn't even recommend looking at his answer even eventually, because it will taint you. It should be yours. I had so much fun. It was Ksuvas Daf Tet. There's a Tosfos in Ksuvas Daf Tet of Tarte Leriuta. And I opened the book, which I still have at home, which is a book of Iyun. It's a Rebbe from Merkaz Arav and all his Iyun Shiurim that he gave over. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Arav for 1 year. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Arav, and my father-in-law was a Talmud in Merkaz Arav. And Rav Mordechai Frum is his name. And I had his Sefer on Ksuvas. And that was where we were up to in Iyun, on Ksuvas Daf Tet. So I looked up that he had a brilliant question on Tosas. It wasn't his question, it was one of the later Achronim's questions, but he had addressed it. And I said, that's like a straightforward, good question. Like that's a really, has to be answered. Some of those questions that aren't like a quiz. This question was like, shut, understanding of Tosfos doesn't make sense, contradicts basic principles. And then I'm on my own now, what do I do? As I started looking up the sugya, and looking up the sugya behind that, and sugya behind that, and looking up all the Rishonim on the different sugyas, I had so much fun because it was my thought. I was involved. It was awe. It was alive. It was fresh. It was mine. So the difference between Chochmah and awe. Chochmah, you forget very easily. You forget it very easily because it's not interesting. It's not yours. It's not on fire. It's not passionate. And on the one hand, you know it very well because it becomes a universal truth, but you're not thinking about it. So if there's any more depth there, you don't remember it. When you come to do chazara of a Gemara that you've learned by chokhmah and not by or, it's unlikely you'll remember the flow. You know, as long as you're doing a good chazara, you'll keep it, but once you stop your chazara, you'll probably forget it. Any Torah that you've learned with or, where it's become your question and it's bothered you, and then you've tried to think of an answer, it's like you'll remember it for a long period of time. Because it's your answer, you remember what you say, because it's yours. It's like you feel very in line with it. It's your own personal thought. That's one nafkamin of remembering, but the bigger nafkamin that he's discussing here is, does it have the power to help you overcome the Yetzer Hara? Does it have the power to help you overcome the more base side of yourself? Chochmah will not help you with that. All the wisdom in the world, all the Torah wisdom in the world will not help you with that. Only when you've thought about it, you've been mitbonen on it, and it's become yours, your seichel has been activated, that's when you're able to. Zuhi avodata musar. That is our goal in learning musar. That's what the whole concept of musar is. Lechadesh hitbonenut. To awaken within you, to renew within you, the idea that you contemplate deeply. Velafoch al yedei ze yidiyot la'orot. And transform wisdom to fire, to a light, where it's awakened within you. Anu yodim mi'ashkacha pratit. Ach ein ze or, ein or b'yediyazu. We know the phrase, kol man da'avid atavavid. Everything that Hashem does is for the best. We know that phrase, that it's a yidiyat. It's not going to help you. It's not going to transform your life. I remember once, something happened. Something bad happened. I don't remember what it was in the world. Something bad happened. Every like 2-3 weeks or something. Something happened, but it was many, many years ago. And someone less affiliated asked me, as like a person with a beard, they said like, so what does the Torah have to say about this? So I gave an understanding, which to me really gave a clear understanding, which was growth orientated and had depth to it. And they were like listening. And they said, so basically you're saying that we just don't understand why there's bad in the world. And I said, basically, but I'm explaining why we don't understand, and I'm explaining where we're supposed to take it to, and like what the purpose of bad being in the world is, and how we're supposed to respond, and why it's building us. And if anyone's ever learned, and I recommend learning the Ramchal's book, Das Tavunas, it's an entire book, almost, on the topic of why there's bad in the world, and what the role and the function that it plays is, and why it's dafka beyond our understanding specifically, but how we're supposed to relate to it. And I think it was a deep understanding of how the world works. But what did that person take away? Yidiyah b'li'or. They didn't take away something which transformed them, or gave them resolution, or understanding, or closure, or growth. They took away from it. So basically you're saying we don't understand. Okay, that's a catchphrase, I know that phrase. And that doesn't help me. Of course it won't help you. Because then it wasn't an awe for you. You didn't think it through. You just waited to summarize the point that Ba'avonotai ani maskir ayom. When I went from learning Iyun to learning Halacha, I suffered from this point. Because when you learn Rabbanut and you have a hespek, a pace that you have to keep, at least for me, it was very challenging to learn with Iyun and learn Alibur de Hilchasa, keeping at a pace that I had to keep at. I found it very hard to do both. So what I ended up doing was, what I ended up doing, like Iyun separately to Halacha, just that I would still keep Iyun. But in the Halacha, what I ended up doing was basically scanning a Tosfos till I got to the Psak Halacha that he was saying, so I could know what Tosfos' opinion was halachically on a certain sugya, which was Chochmah without Or. Meaning it wasn't that I was trying to understand Tosfos' opinion and arguing why it's not that way and arguing why Tosfos didn't hold like Rashi and thinking how I would answer Tosfos' question. I wasn't doing that. I'd done other say that. And I had chios from that. That gave me vitality. But I didn't have vitality from learning halacha. Because although it was satisfying to know what the halacha is, and to know the roots of where the halacha comes from, but at the same time it was frustrating, I'm very honest. It was frustrating knowing there's way more depth behind how that Rishon got to his opinion. But right now, all I'm able to do with the time that I'm given is to state that the Rosh holds this and the Rambam holds this, without going into the logic behind how the Rambam read that back into the Gemara and how the Rosh read it and why the Rosh wouldn't hold like the Rambam's opinion of why he read it to the Gemara. And, like, all that geschmack, I wasn't getting. And it was frustrating. And I remember when I finished learning Halacha for about 7 years and I came back to learning Iyun full day again, it was the sweetest time that I remember in my experience here in Keren Biavaneh, was those 3 years that I went back to learning Iyun after learning Halacha. I did 7 years Iyun, 7 years just Gemara, 7 years, like, it sounds like Paro in Egypt, and seven years doing Halacha, and then I did 3 more years Iyun. And then I entered this role that I'm in now. And those 3 years were the best years I ever had. Because it was after I had all that background and ideas that I went back into doing it, and I was like thirsting for it for all those years, thirsting to go back into Or, into not Chokhmah, but Orot, where you're alive and you're learning, you're connected because you're thinking it through. That was the best 3 years I ever had. So therefore, the goal of Musar is to create within you Hitbonanut, where you transform Yidiyot to Orot, where although you know the idea of many Hashkafic points, like Hashkacha Pratis, but it's not something which rises you up and keeps you feeling connected to Hashem. You just know it's a concept. Knowing it's a concept is not enough. You have to be mitbonen and experience. If you're looking in the world to see Hashem's involvement and see where Hashem connects to you and how you feel close to Him, because you recognize daily Hashem's hand in your life, because you're mitbonen on it, you feel close to Hashem. You feel close to Hashem. You see everything that happens exactly. I heard this at that time, and that was the Yad Hashem that enabled it. Or I didn't have that, didn't I? I can tell you one. There's one time in my life that I failed. Maybe there's more. But there's one, like, clear time where it was something I wanted, and I went for something, and I didn't get it. There were times where I didn't get something, but I didn't really want it, so I didn't really put an effort. That's also happened. There was one time in my life where something I really wanted, and I put an effort, and I didn't accomplish it. And at the time, I was very disappointed. And in hindsight, Baruch Hashem, that I failed in that area. Because that was my first thought, but looking back, it was a terrible decision for me. And at the time, I couldn't know that. I only discovered that much later on. Years later, I discovered that. But if I would have taken that choice that I thought was good for me at the time, it would have held me back in a lot of ways. But I couldn't see that at the time. And when you know, some people would notice that. They'd be frustrated at the time, and then later forget about it. Like, I don't know, have you ever had back pain? And at the time when you have back pain, like, it's really annoying and it really frustrates you and you can't function. And then when it goes away, like, you just don't even notice. Just everything's normal. You just carry on like normal. And then, like, a while later, you're like, oh, didn't I have back pain at one point? Oh, yeah, I had it. But where was the noticing Hashem in your life? Of thanking Hashem that I'm able to function now? People miss that. So the knowledge of Hashkacha Pratis is not enough. It has to be mitbonen constantly. You're aware of it. It's turning into awe. It's not enough to know that we have obligations and mitzvahs and Ahavas Hashem and Yirat Shamayim. It's not enough to know that's a mitzvah. It has to be something which you're mitbonen tamid. And then hofech yidiyot leorot. That transforms knowledge, external knowledge, into life. And that's what enables you to cancel the Yetzer Hara. So that's what we're starting on a path of Musar now. And this path of Musar is going to transform Torah from being stale to being vitality, oxygen, which enables you to connect to Kodesh Baruch. And that's the goal of this. Yishar Kodesh.
Thank you.